Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm back with my boys, Duke and Mailman. How y'all doing today, fellas?
What up?
What's up, everybody? We good. Season Duke.
Let's get it.
All right, man. We got a couple of topics that are near and dear to us. We want to thank you guys for waiting over the break, man. This will get us the time to recharge our batteries. Now we're back, and let's get to it, man. Our first topic of the day, we wanted to talk about a video that I saw during an interview with the Steve Harvey Show. He's asking some mothers about how they feel about kid-free time. You know, as parents, we see a lot of the times that we prioritize spending kids. And look, man, I got 8 siblings. Once you get to 3 and 4, having that adult time doesn't become necessarily important. So let's play the clip and let's go and react to it.
Do you think it's important for couples to have some time away by themselves, keep their relationship strong, or is it selfish?
Not selfish. Oh, no. I think, yeah, and you're like, no. I have little ones at home, and I know that if I didn't have some special away time with my husband, it wouldn't work. I need to show my kids that their parents have a healthy relationship, and we're not going to have that if we're always parents.
I read the other day, and you guys know of this couple, like Steph Curry, right? He and his wife, Aisha, are always what people look at in terms of the world I live. Great couple, great idea, kids, they do their best.
She goes,
let me tell you why our relationship works. We put ourselves before our kids. Right. She was like, this relationship works the best when we both are happy. We can nurture them.
Yeah. And that's not okay selfish at all.
That's not selfish
else
at all.
To talk about.
Exactly. That was controversial. I don't know why. I agree with that 1,000%.
Yeah. Because absolutely. Because there's this preeminent way of being where we're supposed to be codependent with the children. My wife says it this way. You got to put your gas mask on you first.
Yep.
Before the kids.
Yeah.
And and those kids, God love them, they'll ruin you.
Yeah.
Right?
Fuck them kids.
When my kids got out of the house and we were empty nesters, I looked at my wife and said, they almost wrecked us.
We all agree on it. You need that alone time. You need to get away. But I will say, and I'm speaking from personal experience, you need to be careful. Mm. You need to be careful because last spring, my fiance and I had some alone time, went away, went to Palm Springs for a 3-day week. We just need to get out. It was great. Boom. You got to watch out because in about 2 weeks, the fruits of that trip are going to be born. I got that alone time, Steve. I ain't going to have that alone time for 18 more years.
Not for 18 years.
Speaking of kids.
See, I think you have to have that. When Steph Curry and Aisha got all of that flack, it's from people who don't get it.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, it's rough when your kids become your life. Because when you have a child, they're time consuming. Mm-hmm. They suck up every waning moment you got.
And dollar.
If you don't let that woman get a relief so she can go back, just get her nails done, sit in the spa, breathe, walk. Look, man, we go on a vacation every year, my wife and I. For the first time last year, we invited the kids for 1 week out of the 4 weeks.
Hmm.
1 week, and I wanted their ass out of
the the other thing is, when you've got that little fire going between you, even when you have kids, you want your kids to see that dad's kind of still got it from mom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
absolutely.
If I need to go away to get that fire going, it's better for everybody.
Hey, keep it down, folks. We got one more.
All right, let's get into it, man. How y'all feel about having this alone time, this kid-free time being necessary or not within a relationship?
I mean, it's self-explanatory. Everybody agreed. Same thing. You have to have that alone time because kids are fucking crazy. You love them to death, but they crazy as shit. Little motherfuckers are crazy. Like, you look at them like, you a little crazy little motherfucker, aren't you? And they just drive you crazy. Like, they're going to have so many times where you're going to look at them like, what? what did you just do? What did you just say? And you just need that relief, because if you don't get that release, you're going to end up being without a kid because you're going to kill a little motherfucker. So, yeah, I agree with that 100% for your sanity.
I agree on that one. What about you, man? How you feel about this, man?
I'm in agreements with that, too, because, like, if you don't have time with your partner, just you and her, then, you know what I mean, it's going to be all about the kids, and then your relationship is going to suffer because of that. So, yeah, I'm 100% agree with them on that one, you know. But I don't think that, you know what I'm saying, it's just a woman that, you know what I'm saying, that needs that break, you know what I'm saying? Because when Steve Harvey said that that woman needs that time to go and get her nails done and things like too, it's almost like he was excluding men. You know what I'm saying, out of there too. And it's almost like you making a gesture towards me and I'm not there, you know what I'm saying, with their kids. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it kind of sounded like to me. But I honestly feel that, you know what I'm saying, it's for both people that are involved. Men are just involved with their kids as the mother is. And so they both need that time to step away and, you know what I'm saying, rejuvenate their relationship and things like that.
Oh, man, I heard a saying that if you ain't never said fuck them kids, you don't spend enough time with your kids. And so I am a firm believer of the saying fuck them kids. But I think like, I mean, look, man, I don't care. Look, I don't fuck them kids. I don't care. Tell them to their face. I don't care. Shit.
If y'all have been around motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying, and they start talking about their kids, and oh my God, they're such an angel. I love my kids. And then you meet them little motherfuckers, and you like, what the fuck you pick up this little spawn of Satan there talking about this motherfucker is an angel? You, what are you talking about? You mean a fallen angel? Because this little motherfucker is a demon.
And I'm not trying to pass judgment, but usually they are a certain persuasion. I'm just gonna leave it at that. Usually when they got some melanin in their skin, they ain't like that. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Usually there's always exceptions to the rule.
Some of them some little assholes too. I was watching a video the other day. This lady was, you know what I'm saying, in front of a class at school, and she was talking and she was like, hello parents, and then she was like, hello all the little boys and little girls, and one little black kid in the back was like, shut the fuck up, bitch. And he's like, oh no, you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. The girl like, tried to bitch. Continue. I was like, man, it couldn't have been me. I'd have been cussing that little kid out. I'd have fucked that kid up. Like,
my brother on
kids assholes.
My brother on social media, he had a post that said, if a little kid asks for two monies, he bad as hell. So be beware. If any little kid asks you for two monies, just run. Two monies. If he said just like that, can I have two monies, you go ahead and run the other way. Because he's four.
Hey, yo, my nephew would be like that. Uncle, can I have some
exactly.
Can I have some monies? Money. Exactly. Yeah, can I have like two or three monies?
Oh. Yep.
No.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna start tapping your pockets in a second. Mm-mm. Like, I know you got money somewhere.
Yep. Hey, run it. Run it. Where your wallet at? I know it's in your wallet.
But the piggyback on what you said, man, I think as men, okay, in general, I think it's easier for us to say that with kids because we're not as, let's be real, men are not necessarily. We can be nurturers, but it's not pre-programmed as much as it is to be like a mother. And sometimes mothers have this huge innate disability to be able to separate that. And I'm not saying, I've seen it. You always see moms like, oh no, my kid is my world. My kid is this and a third. And it's more necessarily like men in relationships sometimes that's like, hey, we need to get away. Hey, let's go have a time. And so I think it's you're right, men have need that time too, but I think it's sometimes easier for them to say no, they can go across the street, down the street, make a left, three blocks away there's the park, them little badass kids can play over there until the lights come on and we can just hang out and have a dinner by ourselves, versus moms where they're just like, oh no, I need to watch them, you know what I mean, I need to be 5 feet away from my kid to make sure they don't scrape their knee on a leaf. So
yeah, definitely. That's why the difference is, a lot of times, of course, there's always exceptions to the rule. Mm-hmm. But if you see a little kid running and that little motherfucker fall, a man is going, what? We about to laugh because that shit is funny.
You all right?
Yeah, you know, but dust that shit off. You good. But a woman, their first reaction is usually going to be like, oh, is he okay? Is he going, they going to go over there while we still laughing in the same spot we was at before, especially when we find out that they're okay. But case in point, that's just, you know, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. Men are more so, but you won't do that again. That's how we are. We're more so, I'm going to let you do that little lesson. And I'm just going to want to remind you after that that you won't do that shit again, would you?
Mm-hmm.
So
I must fall into a different category than that, because I feel like I'm more nurturing to my daughter than a mom is. Like, I pay more attention to things like that than a mom does. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't believe that just because you're a woman and you gave birth to a child that automatically makes you a good parent. Like, I don't believe that. Like,
no,
you
know, we're not saying that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody said that. Yeah, you've heard that before?
I have heard that. I've heard plenty of, you know what I'm saying, women before, you know what I'm saying, try to put themselves on a pedestal just because they're a mother. And I was like, you know what I'm saying, okay, you taking care of your responsibility because you had a child. But don't be putting yourself on no pedestal because of it, or trying to make it like you're, you know what I'm saying, better than men at it. Don't say that you're better at it than men are, or something like that, because, I mean, how many freaking, you know what I'm saying, stories that y'all seen, or fucking videos, I think they had a series where the mom killed the kids, drowned the kids, or drove them off into a lake or some bullshit, you know what I'm saying, like that. Like, I've seen too.
No. You ain't never seen those stories. Who videos you be watching? No. I see the babysitter.
It's some series like Snap. You know what I'm saying? Exactly it. Yep. Or it's fucking, you watch them court cases, man, like real life court cases where woman be on fucking trial and usually it's for fucking murdering their spouse or their kids. It's for real.
Oh, man. I will say this, the piggyback. There was a time where my daughter was playing basketball. I think I told you guys the story. For whatever reason, her mom couldn't show up. And so it was just me there. And so at some point in time during the game, my daughter, she's so young, they don't let you steal the ball because they want to teach the kids how to dribble and stuff like that. It's, you know, low.
That's what practice is for. Fuck that.
Right, right. And so I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. So there's a missed ball, a long rebound. She goes and grabs the ball, and one of the girls grabs it with her. And so they usually do a jump ball, but then the little girl flung my daughter all across the court right in front of me, like banged her head on the ground, and then took the
basketball. I think I was there at that game.
I think you were. And so she looked at me like in tears, like, and I'm like, mommy not here. Are you okay? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, go steal that shit, man. She went over. Now y'all know how she's so polite. She came over there and went over to the girl to play defense, because you know the girl just dribbling the ball. She's like, I'm sorry, but my daddy said this is okay, and stole the ball, came down, hit a layup. Girl got the ball again, blocked the shot. I'm hyped. They had to call an official timeout because the court monitor was like, we can't have parents coaching the kids on the court. I was like, obviously he talking to me. I'm the one he talking about, right? Because my daughter just scored 4 straight points and now everybody got a problem with it. And I was like, fuck this shit, man.
I thought they was going to get the fighting, goddamn, because they went for another jump ball. And you know what I'm saying? I thought I saw your daughter throwing some fucking elbows and shit, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, she don't play.
I was like, okay, she got aggressive. She did not like that last time when no girl threw her on the ground.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That was a moment where I was like, I'm glad mama not there, because mama would have been like, oh, I got to protect my baby. I got to be the mom. And dad like, nah, this your moment. Brush your feet, brush your knees off, get it together, go do what you got to do. And she come back after the timeout. She like, daddy, I would have died before I shot my free throws. I'm like, all right, chill the fuck out. Okay, you scared me. I got to drive home with you after this, okay? I don't feel comfortable.
She was pissed.
You tripping. Yeah, oh yeah. Whew, scared the shit out of me.
Mm. I was at that game.
Back to our topic, man. Sometimes you got to, I have seen more relationships fail because of not being, how many times, and this is to our audience, I'm not saying this because I want a response, it's rhetorical. How many times you as parents have kids and can say, we went on a date this month or last month? That is such a bad question that people are like, no, we didn't go on a date. Not with the kids, just two adults having dinner and dating. Not like, oh, we got kids, so we can't date. Just date your partner, and you neglect that aspect of your relationship when you have kids sometimes, man. And it can be your downfall.
So my suggestion to that is, like, this is what I do in my relationship. Thursday night, date night. You know what I mean? Every Thursday night is date night. Now, whether we go out to a movie or go out to dinner or, you know what I'm saying, just stay at home and pop some popcorn and watch a movie on Disney Plus or some shit like that, or Netflix and chill, so to speak. You know what I mean? But Thursday nights is date night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's always a good deal to just, you know, set up a night of the week where, you know what I mean, you and your partner just get together and y'all enjoy each other's time together.
Yeah, that's important, man.
Uninterrupted time together.
And those of you who feel guilty because you think you mistreating your children, you got to look at it like this. Again, you got to take care of your star player. You, your star player. So part of that is making sure that your mental is correct, that you feel good, that you're refreshed. So then, therefore, you can be the best version of yourself for your kids at the end of the day as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. We as adults, we are so quick to be that emotional and supportive person to our kids. And then it's like, yo, you know, you are with someone to help you with that too. You know what I mean? And on top of that too, if your child never sees a healthy relationship where mommy and daddy treat each other and date each other and still have that intimacy with each other, they're not going to grow up wanting that. They're not going to grow up knowing that that is what a relationship is about. They're going to grow up thinking, oh, no, my kid is my life, and then end up neglecting their partner and then end up having those issues and then raising a kid on their own or having split custody or losing a kid or whatever the case may be. But it's just, man, you got to set the example. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back.
Hey, everyone. As a parent, we all want to set our kids up for success any way we can, and that includes teaching them the value of earning, saving, and investing money, even at an early age. So when Duke introduced Mailman and I to the Greenlight card, it became something we were very intrigued in. The Greenlight card is a prepaid debit card designed to teach your kids about the fundamentals of personal finance. Using this app and card, kids can earn money through chores, set saving goals, spend wisely, and even invest. As a parent, you can set flexible goals and receive real-time alerts while your child is monitoring their own balance, setting goals for themselves, and learning how to manage their money. The app gives you complete control over your child's money by allowing you to set spending limits at specific stores. Plus, it has unique features like a savings account that earns parent-paid interest and an investing platform where your kids can invest in real time with your permission. Duke's been using this for a while. And
green light!
Yeah, and Mailman and I are just signing up as well for our children because setting them up for success is important. And we want to invite all our listeners to do the same. So if you have children and this is interesting to you and this speaks to you, please go to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Linktree page and find a green light link and sign up. We're excited to share this journey with you guys. And we also want to hear how it works out for you. So let us know.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to a second topic, man. This topic comes from the local doctor's office, man. We've been gone for a little bit, and not to get
been gone a week.
I know, right? This motherfucker act like we've been out for fucking 3 years and shit.
Exactly.
I miss them. Yeah. I miss y'all. They don't
like
miss y'all.
Coming out of retirement.
They miss
me. I know, right? Lord.
Seven damn days.
I don't think nobody even really noticed it's been a week.
No. Okay. So I don't know if y'all noticed. So our listeners, man, Big Sis works at the doctor's office. And so she be like, hey, man, we need some laughs because y'all were gone for a week and shit is hell in the healthcare field right now. So, I feel, yeah, they miss
yeah,
it.
That's true. So, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So,
Like I said, I still can't believe the effect we have on people, having on people, you know what I'm saying? It still like blows my mind that motherfuckers even actually listen to our ass.
It blows my mind that people listen to me too, because I don't know shit. So
how can they not? Your ass don't never stop talking, motherfucker.
You ain't wrong, man. But hey, so listen, man, we got a question from the office, man. I don't know who wrote it. It looks like one of the doctors actually wrote this, and so I wanted to get into it. He says, hey, fellas, or excuse me, he or she says, hey, fellas, I listened to another one of your past episodes with folks at work. Very nice. We listened to the one about mental health. It was good, but being a doctor and a spouse, I have to say that although you talked about what you do for your own mental health, you did not talk about what you do for your partner's mental health and vice versa. How do you all handle making sure your partner is mentally healthy? Do you actually know how they feel? If they feel unwanted, unloved, unappreciated, or can you tell if they're not feeling right mentally? Do they help you with your mental health? Do you express each other or do you express to each other when you or they may feel mentally unhealthy? I feel that it is not addressed in relationships and could destroy it. You and your partner should be able to talk about it, lean on each other, especially with this. So many people take their lives because of bad mental health or feeling like they don't matter. Just listening to you all, the question of making sure your kids' mental health is not a question. You all have that in the bag. It would be great to hear you all's answer to this question and revisit mental health issues. Love what you guys are doing. So let's talk about it, man. Actually, and First off,
I feel like it took your ass like 5 minutes to read that shit, so I don't even remember what the question was now.
I know, right? Like, read the question again.
Don't read
the question.
Okay, give us the goddamn cliff notes. Just give us the cliff notes. Don't read that shit over again.
there was a ton of questions in that. In
that, that's right? What I was talking about. I was like, man, I heard them like five questions at least.
Okay, so first of all,
your partner's mental health, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. It's very obvious y'all don't work with doctors. I work with doctors. This is how they talk. They will let you know everything under the book and then get it out because they don't want to, they don't have these conversations very often. It's like this, next patient, next patient. And so sometimes
I don't have a problem with what the doctor wrote. I have a problem with how it was read by your ass.
Well, sorry if my 32-year-old ass sounds like I'm reading at a fourth grade level. So y'all can go to hell.
Hey, what is this y'all shit? I ain't said a damn.
Thank you, mailman. I appreciate
the damn thing. You know what I'm saying?
That nigga agree with he agree with me. That's why he laughed. He just being nice about it. That goes back to it. He gonna catch your ass. I'm gonna let you hit the floor. That's all it is. That's the difference right there. But he agree. That's why his ass is laughing.
Hey, don't try. You gonna make me out to be alive. Oh, shit.
All right, man. Let's get into it, man. Let's talk about this, okay? And I want to visit this, not this topic, but just mental health in general for the next couple of episodes because we've seen some things close to us, too close to home dealing with mental health. So let's kind of in this episode focus on mental health in a relationship. How do you guys address it as far as not necessarily our mental health, but our partner's health, mental health?
For me, it's simple. The first thing is you have to know your partner. You have to know their signs. You have to know their tells, because everybody's got a tell on when something is going on, and they might not necessarily be the type that could communicate that to you. So you have to look for those little signs. So personally, for my lady, I know when she gets wound a little too tightly is when she tries to take on more and more and more things, to where sometimes I just have to be like, look, stop everything right now. She could be in the middle of getting ready to cook some shit. I'm like, quit. Let's put everything down. Let's turn the oven off. Whatever it is, we gonna order out. Because I can tell. I can just see it. I can see it's like that little mm-hmm. transparency in her brain in the cartoons where you can see shit going. I can see it. So I have to like stop her because she'll continue to try to take on more and more things that'll just exacerbate the whole situation. So for me, that's when I know something is up. And then she's not a huge communicator all the time. So then I have to like give her little ends here, or little ends there, and get a little piece here, a little piece there. And so eventually she'll get to the point and get to telling me what's going on. And then we can address the situation together and we can help each other because, you know, she does the same for me when I'm stressed out and all of that shit too, because it's a two-way street. So the main thing is really knowing, and we've kind of talked about this last season a little bit with like the tells that people have and the love signs and all, you know, stuff like that. All of that comes into play. Just knowing your partner, like listening to them, even if they're not a big talker, they always give you little nuggets. And if you're listening, you can catch them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, that's what it is. I look for those signs and then I just have to stop her. Mm-hmm. Just be like, let's stop. Let's watch a movie. Let's order out. Let's go out to eat, whatever the case may be. Something that I know she's going to like and something I know that puts her in a better mind frame so she could just breathe.
Yeah.
And then once she does that, then we can get to the root of what's causing whatever the issue is at that time.
Yeah. What about you, man?
First thing I tend to do with my partner, and I'm going to piggyback a little bit off what Duke said. First, you have to know your partner. And so I'm one of those type of people that I can read just about anybody because I pay attention to body language. So I can tell, you know what I'm saying, kind of what's going on with a person just from, you know, the head movement, the way their body language is. And because, you know, a lot of times your body will tell off on you when your mouth don't. And you got to understand, a lot of times you have, when you're dealing with people and it's their mental health and their mental space, a lot of times they don't want to tell you how they're feeling or because of fear of being judged or things like that. So the first thing that I try to do with any woman that I'm dating is let her know that she's in a safe space. Like, you can openly express how you feel to me without me interrupting you, without me judging you, and without me, you know, putting you down or anything negative like that. So I create a safe space for her and let her know that she can express how she feels any way that she wants to. And then we'll deal with it, you know what I'm saying, accordingly. And then on the other hand, there's sometimes where she's having issues and she doesn't even realize it herself. And so I can bring it to her attention. But that also goes back to what Duke was saying, whereas you have to know your partner. And that comes with time. You can't really just meet somebody off and, you know what I'm saying, and think after knowing them for a month, you know what I mean, you can tell if they got a mental health problem. Now, sometimes you can, sometimes you're not.
I don't know about you. I
said sometimes you can, sometimes maybe not.
No,
you
know, man, listen.
We ain't talking about those blatant, obvious motherfuckers.
I'm not seeing obvious or red flags, man. There's some women out here that be like, hey, before you get with me, you need to know this. My ass is crazy. I got shit going on. But I'm just saying.
That bitch ain't finna be my partner. I'm sorry. You come out the door red flagging me like that, I'm like, flag on the play. You know what I'm saying? Penalty. I got to get out of here. I'm got to the age right now where, like, I can't be with somebody. I'm a grown ass man. You know, like, I don't have time to be, I'm not a doctor. I don't have time to be trying to fix somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a doctor. I don't even know where to begin with trying to, you know what I'm saying, fix a person when they mental health issues. All I can do is give them suggestions and ideas to what I may think, you know what I'm saying, may be the root of the problem based on what they tell me and give them some solutions. But I'm not a doctor, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want to step off into a field of expertise where I'm not an expert at. You know what I'm saying? But I know what I can do for a person, you know what I'm saying, is be there for them, be a shoulder to cry on, be an ear to, you know, for them to listen to their problems and to let them get out and work their issues. And just like I said, create a safe space for them. And I ask those questions of your partner. Hey, you know, how's your mental health today? And then when they say, oh, I'm fine, I'm like, no, stop for a minute. Really process what I just asked you and think about that. Where is your head at? Where are your head at today? How are you feeling? Are you, you know what I'm saying? Is, whatever the case may be, let's talk about it. And then we work through it. And then usually I end up making them laugh and then we go on about our day.
I think this is so important, man. And I love how they worded this. Just listed it all out, right? Because it encompasses so much about being a safe, having a safe place for them to go to, making sure they're comfortable, all these things that go into play. And honestly, like I personally struggled with this at first. I struggled with this, like, cause I gotta be honest with you, with everything that's happened in my life, I've dealt with so much of, like, I have so had so much of my own mental health to focus on that I really was like, I don't really want anyone whose health, mental health, I gotta focus on. Like, I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to deal with your problems. I don't want to deal with what it is that's going on with you. And it took me a minute to realize that you ain't gonna have a relationship if you don't accept the good and the bad of a person. So,
but hold up, I don't mean to cut you off, News, but it's not wrong for you to want to, you know what I'm saying, get your mental head space together before you start trying to deal with somebody else's mental health problem. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not mentally in a place that, you know what I'm saying, help somebody else, how can you help them?
You're right. You're absolutely right. That is absolutely right. But I was at the point where I was like, no, I feel like I'm in a healthy mental space, but I don't want to deal with anybody else. Just because of the fact that I was just like at a certain point in time, I was like, hey, look, I got my mental shit under control. I don't need anybody else's mental shit. And it took me a little bit to kind of, you know, realize that we all have problems, right? We all have issues that we deal with. And so with nowadays, like it's really tough to, I don't know, it's tough to kind of figure out how to, you can't control or make anyone address their own mental health issues because that's their issues. They have to be in a place in their life to where they want to address those issues or at least talk about them. And so it's very important to kind of, what I did was just try to make it a safe place to where I know my shit. And so it was just like, yeah, look, this is what's wrong with me, man. I get it. I deal with this shit. This is what I deal with, some of what. And then show that if I'm going to be vulnerable and accessible to you, that makes it so that way you have the ability to be vulnerable and accessible to me. And if you choose not to, then this isn't a safe place to you and you're not a safe place for me. And so I think that was really the first step for me. And then going forward, it was just, I think I talked about this in one of our previous episodes. It's that when you truly, truly love someone, right? There comes a point in time where you prioritize their happiness over your own and they prioritize your happiness over theirs in a sense where it's like, I got $100. What can I do with this $100 that makes this person happy? Not me, but the person I'm with. Or I got 2 hours free tonight on Thursday night. What can I do with this time that's going to make the person I'm with happy versus what's going to make me happy? And I think that same concept goes with your mental health, right? Where it's like, I have this much free space where I can talk to you about your mental health and everything like that and notice stuff going on. Let's talk about it. Let's see if I can be something that not necessarily helps you or tells you what's right and what's wrong, but just get it off your chest. And then maybe we can figure out a solution to help you address that.
Just to kind of add on to what you're saying, I think what a healthy way of dealing with certain situations like that when they're in a negative light like that is to set boundaries. And you set boundaries. You set boundaries with people to protect your mental health. You know what I mean? There's a saying that was sometimes you can, you know what I'm saying, bleed on the ones that hadn't cut you, that aren't even the one that cut you. So in order to keep from getting bled on by somebody else that you might care about, you have to set up boundaries and be like, okay, these things I can't, you know what I'm saying, have in my life in order for, you know saying, us to work out. And setting boundaries with person doesn't mean that you don't love them. It just means, or that you're selfish, just that it means that these are certain things that have to be put in place for your own mental health. And maybe that's what they need to do on the other side. Your partner may need to do is set boundaries and say, hey, look, I can't have these type of things in my life because these are triggers for me and will cause me to go down a downward slope. But mm-hmm. boundaries are important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think when you talk about boundaries, like there's boundaries and standards, right? Like you can set a stand, like women can set a standard in their relationship where they say, listen, if you're going to be with me, this is how we're going to date, or how we're going to raise the kids and things like that. And men can do the same thing, right? You can set a standard, or not necessarily a standard, but you can set an example of saying, hey, listen, if we're going to be in a relationship, okay, I need you to get on board with the idea that mental health is going to be a top priority for us. We talked about even with the kids, like having alone time with your partner, man, this, you have to create this space where you can have a safe place, and setting that example, saying, hey, listen, if you're going to be with me, I need you to understand something. Mental health is important to me, and I hope it's important to you. And I want to make sure that we're on the same page, that where you feel like this shit is bothering me, I need to talk about it, let's talk about it. And so in order to do that, we need to create a safe place for you. What does that look like? It takes a lot of
patience.
It takes a lot of comfortability with a person. It takes a lot of work to be able to do that. And I think that's important in any relationship or any marriage. Yeah.
I totally get it.
Thank you, Doctor, for the question.
I hope we answered all those 7 million questions.
No. Shoot, because of that question, listen, for a little bit, I want to keep talking about mental health, man. I think it's really important. And like they said, it's neglected. It's neglected so much in this world. And so, and us three as friends, we've seen it too close recently. And so, we'll talk about it, man, and see if we can help some other people. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, we're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. Our Greenlight card, yeah.
Hold on, I wrote a commercial you want to hit? Here you go. Greenlight! Because I use it and they're paying me for it. Right. Cha-ching! Bam, baby. There you go.
And that's the commercial. All right, back to the show.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to our third segment of the day.
On the next episode of Ratchet News. Me. Let's get ratchet.
Hey, this whole time I'm like, where the R roll at? Where's it gonna be?
I gotta mix it up. I gotta keep it fresh. I gotta mix it up.
Oh man. All right, man. Let's get to it, man. Our news for today, man. A woman poops her pants halfway through a marathon. Let's talk about it.
What?
Yeah, she shat herself.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
So we're going to talk about this, man.
Read the story.
All right, you're halfway through a marathon, and you're on a personal record pace. Out of nowhere, you start to feel pings of pain in your stomach, and you need to use the toilet, but it will cost you valuable time. So what do? Most people would go to the toilet and try to get the best personal record time, but realizing that they might have to wait another day, another race, another year to achieve this. Tamara Tolarkson is not most people, however. Back in 2008, Tamara was racing a mountain to beach marathon. This was a 26.2-mile distance, and previously it had been fine. And then she realized she had to have a bowel movement. But on this day, at the 13th or 14th mile, She said it was not an option. Finished the race and had a personal best record by beating her record by a minute and a few seconds. Let's talk about it, man.
Oh my God. So now, Duke, I know what you're talking about now, because goddamn, you need to like proofread that shit or something first before you start doing it. Like read it over once a couple of times and then, you know what I'm saying, read it over again and then read it to our ass. Because I was like, what? Next, he the fucker lost me. I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about no more, goddamn. One shit itself, okay. Because goddamn. Oh my God. Oh, that shit was. I don't mean to bang on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, but damn, man, proofread this shit first. God.
Okay, I will proofread it. Fuck you. Let's talk about it, man. Let's talk about it. How y'all feel about this woman shitting herself, boy?
I swear to God, I'm gonna start this one off, guys. But and. The only thing that the image that I got in my mind when you spoke and reading the story was she didn't want to fucking stop. This bitch just was slinging shit behind her the whole time she was running. Can you imagine being behind that bitch in a foot race and she shitting herself and slinging shit at you while she running? I'd be pissed off like a motherfucker, man. Yeah. I bet she had a best time. I bet she won everything. Nobody want to be behind the fucking behind the person in a foot race that shit themselves. God, that is disgusting. Like,
what do you think?
The fuck?
Okay, dude.
I ain't got nothing to say. The bitch shot herself. The bitch shot herself. I mean, gotta go. Gotta go. I guess. I don't know.
That's an understatement. That's kind of talented in itself, though, because I don't know a motherfucker that can keep running at that fucking pace to break a record while they shitting at the same damn time. That's impressive.
Hey, listen to all my medical. Listen, I know right now everybody in the medical field is just sitting there thinking about, like, because, you know, and you work in a hospital, there's shit that is. You're like completely fine talking about, and normal people are just like, what the fuck are you doing? Right. And so it's like, they write, well, what was the consistency? Was it a turd or was it like hard? Was it pebbles or was it like loose? Like, was it diarrhea? You don't know. We don't know. But I know this bitch had diarrhea dripping down her ankles.
That's nasty.
In all fairness, the article goes on to read that when she was like 50 feet from the finish line, she saw her friends and family. They were like, go. Oh. She was like, I shit myself.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Listen.
Hey, I don't know about y'all, but when I get ready to take shit, I like, you know what I'm saying? I need like an incense, you know what I'm saying? Like turn the fan on, get comfortable, maybe get a magazine or, you know what I'm saying, get my phone, you know what I'm saying, get some reading material. Like it's a whole production for this shit.
When you think about it though, probably why she did have her personal best, because I know a lot of times after I shit, I feel like 10 pounds lighter. She was like, shit, I feel light. Do some more running. There you go.
Oh my God. Oh my
so that kind of makes sense when you think about it.
I'd be pissed if I was behind her. And they'd be like, yo, man, you
nah, nigga, you wouldn't be pissed. You'd be shat on. Ain't no piss. You'd be shat on.
Your steps is like, boom, boom, boom.
You beat me by 2 seconds. That's what I'm saying. How she slip and fall on her own shit.
It's not her. It's the person behind her, boy.
You couldn't hold it. You can't hold it while you running.
Listen, there's an inspiration.
I think like when you gotta go, you know what I'm saying, and you ain't the toilet around, won't that shit make you run faster to try to get to a fucking toilet so you don't shit yourself?
Well, it's exactly. Not gonna make her run faster to wipe that shit off.
I guess that's impressive in its own standing, because damn, how the fuck you run and shit at the same time?
Listen, there's an inspirational story behind this. She can go in front of kids in elementary schools and be like, listen, I ran a marathon and halfway through I had burdens. I had luggage that I had to carry. all the shit that I had to take with me. But you know what? I pushed through. I dug deep, deep, and I just pushed it out. And I just ran, and I ran, and I finished. And when you're able to take and cross that finish line and wipe away all the dirt and nastiness that you carried with you, you're going to be a better person on the other side. There you go.
You'd be a cleaner person at least, but your ass is nasty, bitch. Excuse me, ma'am. You nasty. I just want to say that. Bitch, you nasty.
To tomorrow, congratulations on running your personal best. I hope your next race is faster and cleaner than your last one.
Bitch, you nasty. I'm just saying.
Hey, and on that note, man, we're going to call it, man. Anything you guys want to say?
Yeah, man, season two, we're just going to call it season deuces. And we're going to call it deuces because we're getting rid of all negative energy. So no more negative energy at all. So season deuces, that's what this is.
Facts,
deuces
facts.
To negative energy. I can respect that. I like that shit.
We got a couple of excited things that's coming to us, man. We're going to bring back our old friend Bahia Shabazz onto our episode on season two. We're going to talk about some other stuff with some other people, and we're going to meet with some fans and things like that. And so, yeah, hit us up, like and subscribe on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're on Apple, Spotify, and anything else you can listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, I won't just leave you guys with this. You know, when you're dealing with relationships, it doesn't matter if they have a mental health problem or not. It's always a good idea to create a safe space for you and your loved one to talk and communicate with each other.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. And I say, fuck them kids. To my fellas, listen, I love you guys. I wish you guys nothing but success and happiness. And to all our listeners out there, you guys keep dreaming. Take care.